Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
This is Pod Populi, podcast for the people.
Welcome back to Dateless in Del Rey, the podcast about modern dating, relationships, reinvention, and trying to understand why people who can negotiate million-dollar deals still send hey with no punctuation and think that's flirting. I'm Susan Shore, and today's episode is about modern masculinity, attraction, dating fatigue, which we all have, and the growing disconnect between what men and women want and what women are actually responding to. Because somewhere along the line, effort became too much, confidence became confused with arrogance, vulnerability became therapy dumping, and planning a date somehow started feeling a little like a hostage negotiation. Meanwhile, women are increasingly saying they want emotional safety, decisiveness, intelligence, confidence, humor, and actual effort. You know, not perfection, not wealth necessarily, and not even six-pack abs, although it's not a bad thing. Just someone emotionally evolved who does more than text you up. Today, we're talking about the biggest dating mistakes men make. From being basic, cliche, lazy, cheap, creepy, passive, insecure, or performative. And we're also talking about what actually works and what creates attraction. So before we begin, a couple of statistics to set the stage. A recent survey from Pew Research Center found that nearly half of Americans believe dating has become harder over the last decade. Yeah, that's for sure. Women most often cite unclear intentions, emotionally unavailable partners, inappropriate behavior, and lack of effort. Meanwhile, studies on attraction continue to show that confidence, decisiveness, and emotional intelligence really save the day. Our quote today comes from Oscar Wilde, "Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken." And honestly, some people should probably stop taking dating advice from TikTok podcasts and just be themselves and see what happens. My guest today has the best name ever of all guests, Suki Nefertiti. I just love it so much. Suki's incredible. She has a degree in human sexuality, openly discusses neurodivergence and attraction. Neurodivergence is my favorite personal trait. Has worked with billionaires, managed the careers of adult film stars. We got to hear about that one. Traveled internationally, house-sitting castles and luxury estates. And she's built a fascinating platform around modern relationships, psychology, hierarchy, sexuality, and dating behavior. Suki, welcome to Dateless in Del Rey.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. And I'm so happy you like my name. And the way I help people remember it is that it starts with suck and it ends in titty.
I have a friend who will absolutely love that. It starts with suck and ends with titty. That's perfect. And you're unforgettable.
I think we need a trigger warning for any of your easily offended listeners, because this is going to be your sluttiest podcast ever, I'm sure.
Oh, I've been waiting for this, and I know a few people that will definitely tune up the volume, so thanks for the warning. So let's start with you. How did you get into this game? I know you have many advanced degrees, and I didn't even know you could get a degree in human sexuality, but what brought you to this point in your life?
You know what? I think it is mostly what I was born with, and that is the neurodivergence and a crazy, insanely high libido. That combination just made me always really open-minded sexually and fascinated by how it all works. And so I've analyzed it since the time I was a kid. I I knew at age five, just because of the pattern formation and observation, that I did not want to participate in standard heteronormative relationships.
5 years old,
I could
you knew this.
Understand so much about patriarchy just from being a kid in the world.
Wow, that's young. Okay.
And so I've always made a point of doing things in a way that seems fun for me, where I am not being controlled by men or tied down by men, where I can experience my own pleasure. That's why I got the degree so early on. That was in 2001. Mm. And I have lived my life in pursuit of pleasure. And I think I probably have had more one-night stands than any woman that most people have met, just because I've been doing this so regularly and with such gusto forever. I feel really lucky that I never had any shame around that kind of stuff. And, you know, because I do, look, I have been in relationships I've had several times. I've been in love, but it's not always the easiest thing. And I don't consider any of those relationships a failure just because they ended. They lasted as long as they needed to last. Right. But, you know, if I'm not going to be looking for the next love of my life, I just want to be having a real good time. And I've learned so much from the pursuit of pleasure, because it can be so fun, but it also can be incredibly frustrating.
Incredibly what?
Incredibly frustrating.
Ah, yes. Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned the numerous one-night stands. In fact, you told me you're writing a book with a very provocative title. Can you share that a little about what you're going to be telling us in the book?
Yeah. Well, so the book is called 1,000 One Night Stands, which is a kind of take off of 1,001 Nights, which is one of my favorite books and is very sexy, a much sexier book than a lot of people realize. And so it's about my adventures pursuing pleasure, having really great casual sex, casual but not cheap. I always like to say that there's a big difference. It still has to feel passionate, and sex is a way of connecting to other people. It's a way of having beautiful, beautiful encounters, and it should never make anybody feel like shit afterwards. And so I think that is such an important thing for people to know. This is, you know, for me, sex is one of the healthiest things that you can do for yourself, and also one of the best ways that you can connect with other people. I mean, there's just so many things you can do with sex. You can have quantum occurrences, you can expel trauma. You know, I do all sorts of healing techniques with people. I'm actually working on that today with a client right now. So there are just so many beautiful things about it. But the thing is, many men these days are complaining that it's really difficult and they don't really know what approaches to take. And I think that they are being severely misled by a lot of the manosphere and manosphere adjacent type of stuff. And so we need to be really careful. And one of the things that I've noticed, because, you know, I'm 49 now, and my favorite is men in their 20s, because they're very available and they're also very handsome and I have great chemistry with them.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, I have seen how men in their 20s have changed over time. They have become much more entitled and aggressive and hateful, and their misogyny is just on full display. And of course, I'm going to be experiencing more ageism as I get older, but I do think, you know, even if I were staying the same age, it would be getting worse over time just because of the cultural changes.
Really?
And so
interesting.
I feel like I need to kind of step in and say, listen, I know a lot about this from not only my studies, but also my personal experience. And I do want to help men, because I'm one of the few women out there who is just openly saying, I do love casual sex, but I want you to approach me for casual sex. And, you know, the other women who are interested in that, I want you to approach it in the right way, because it is getting more and more disrespectful and it makes me cry. It's really sad.
Really? So what cultural changes do you think have caused these younger men to adopt this attitude?
Well, it's this I mean, a lot of people call it the male loneliness epidemic, and some guys feel uncomfortable with that. But the increasing addiction to porn and the suicide rates and the depression rates in cells, I mean, you can see evidence of it all over the place. Mm. But the men that are being adopted as role models are saying some terrible stuff. So the metaphor of, you know, if you want to learn to fish, do you ask the fisherman or do you ask the fish? This is just such a horrible premise to begin with, because if you're treating women like a dead fish, you are assuming that women have no agency, that they have absolutely no role in the decision-making process, that there's something that you just need to go capture. And so that's why the mentality is just, you know, put them on defense. You know, it's a very rapey kind of attitude. You know, it encourages men to treat women in a way that is really, really unfortunate. And, you know, a woman is like a jungle cat, you know, like you have to approach it in the right way. You do have to be strategic. You have to respect it. You don't go up and touch it before it's ready or it'll bite your fucking head off. But, you know, if you wait for it to be ready for you and to put itself in your vicinity and arch its back and start purring, then, you know, you're in. But you have to do things to get to that point. And so, gotta stop thinking of women like fishes.
Okay. So, on the subject of one-night stands, how do you navigate wanting a second night? Or if someone is more interested in the partner, you know, one of them is more interested than the other, is it always literally one night?
So it is for me a lot of the time. And I think that the reason why it is because I'm able to kind of separate things out, because I know how hard it is to find a connection to someone where you connect on all the main levels of your personality with so many of your values. And when I date older men, I evaluate them with a completely different set of criteria. I expect them to be much more polite and gentlemanly and charismatic and sophisticated and cultured and worldly. And I don't expect that from young men when I'm having one night stand with them. But if they do impress me with incredible manners and they're so polite and they're worldly, then I'll marry him. I did. I married a guy that I met him when he was 20 and I was 40, and he was so fascinating and so much fun. So yeah, we were married for 5 years, even though I said I would never get married, but you know, I needed to get my residency papers. So,
and he literally
was a legit relationship.
He was 20 years old and you were 40 and you got married.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. So are you in touch with him now?
Sorry?
Are you in touch with him now?
I'm in touch with a lot of the people in his family, but I don't speak directly with him. But it was a really, really wonderful time. We lived in a castle in Spain, so that was great.
A castle in Spain. You are an interesting person, Suki. So you use the phrase delicious DNA. What does that mean?
Okay, so this is one of the things that I think that men need to show women, because women are programmed to evaluate men on who has the best DNA. And so when you approach women and just say, hey, you are showing for a million reasons that you do not have the good DNA that she should mate with. So it immediately just says, you are basic, you are boring, you are lazy, you make no effort, you are not willing to take risks, you have no courage. These are all the things that show that you have bad DNA. We don't fuck that.
We fuck delicious DNA. Yes, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are so many ways to show this, but the guys who are basic in their profiles and they say, oh, ask me and find out, or I'm not into writing profiles. You can't do that. You have to sell yourself. You have to stick out from the crowd. And there are many, many guys who say, well, I just send hey to every woman to see who responds, because they're trying to cast the net wide. That's not the right strategy for dating. It's not. It's just not going to work.
You have to be selective and really know what you want and go after it.
Yeah, I mean, or it's so I don't actually think that people need to know too specifically what they really want. I think they need to look at the person that they're trying to approach and see what is the unique way to approach that person. So some women are happy with a lot of small talk because that shows that you, you know, just kind of want to be relaxed about getting to know each other. But if you look at my profile, it is super high octane. I say that I am high sensation seeking. I want people who are extraordinary and fascinating. And so you don't just come up to me and say, hey, how are you? That is not what you do with a woman like me. And so it's really important to read a woman's profile, see what she actually is interested in, stuff about her personality, and cater your approach to that. And, you know, for some men, it's too much work, but that's exactly what we want to weed out. We want to weed out the lazy ones and the ones who are not enthusiastic about us.
And what about the appearance side of this formula? Because some men can be as charming and, you know, accomplished as they can be, but if they don't look a certain way, they're not going to get a certain kind of woman. How do they overcome that?
Oh, God. I know so many guys who are not traditionally good looking, who don't have, you know, they don't have the height or the money or the whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Having incredible charisma and knowing how to connect to other people, that's the most important thing by far. That's really all you need.
Right. So what did you learn about this topic when you were managing the career of porn stars? Tell us a little about that.
Oh, wow. It was not as fun as I wanted it to be.
Yeah, I bet. Hmm.
I thought that I was going to bring feminism to porn, but it was quite a challenge. I really wanted to take care of the women, and their job is so hard, and they... I'm glad it's the one industry where women get paid more than men because they deserve it.
Is that right? So you managed two female stars, is that right?
So I worked for the top two porn production companies, and so this was back in the last golden age of porn before all of the free sites started. And so both of those companies had what they called contract girls, and I call them girls because that was my actual job title, as contract girls manager. I would prefer to call them women, but in this industry, they like to kind of infantilize the women.
Makes
sense. Mm-hmm. And so they each brought on their the stars, and they were managed in the same way as the as studios used to do in the 1940s in Hollywood with their contracted stars.
Wow.
So it's they have an exclusive relationship with the production company to only do movies with them. And the production companies put quite a bit of money into each movie, and you do a lot of work with their PR and their image and their everything. So I was working mostly with the contract stars, not the two big gigantic stars, because they at that point had one foot out the door. They were both pretty much retired by then.
Okay. And what did you learn from that experience? Did you actually watch the shooting?
I did. And it's... well, I mean, I think that with any sex scene in any movie, the actors always go, it might end up looking sexy, but it is not sexy when you are filming it. And that is quadruply true for porn. So all of these women went in there thinking that they were going to have the chance at mainstream success. And I think that they were kind of manipulated and sort of people led them along thinking, you know, trying to tell them that that was going to happen when it just really wasn't. It really wasn't that likely. Mm. And so they would do so much that that they didn't really want to do. And I don't think any of them really loved it. And I do love the ones who love it. And, you know, I know that some of them just say that for interviews. But this is the thing about sex. Women need to have sexual agency. Women need to know their own desires, and they need to be in sexual situations where they are not just doing what someone else is telling them to do. And when you're doing sex for a movie, which is being directed by someone else, that is not about your sexual agency. It has nothing to do with your own desires.
Sure.
And that completely changes something with the way that the brain works and how your sexual physiology can actually function. when you don't have agency, you don't get as turned on as a woman. And so that's why I'm always telling my, you've been interviewing some of my friends in the sugaring industry or in the sugaring world. And I have been trying to tell them, don't always have sex with sugar daddies. You got to go and just have some like random fun ones where you go and like grab some hot guy. And it's just this really fun, spontaneous thing. And it's not a whole like working out, is this worth it for me? Because that puts you on the back burner. That puts you as the responsive person, and you are doing everything you can to please, and you are constantly negotiating with yourself, like, what am I going to tolerate that I don't like so much?
Right,
so it's transactional. Where you're not always doing that.
Yeah, it's transactional, and I guess the sugar people I did talk to in the last few weeks, Sugar Matchmaking and Secrets of a Sugar Daddy podcast host, and they were very adamant that it really isn't transactional, but it sounds like what you're describing can devolve into that.
I mean, it's like, it isn't, but also you can look at the world as, you know, everything is transactional, you know, especially all sexual relationships, but there's a give and take with everything in the world. Like I just finished reading this book called Debt by David Graeber, and you know, like transactions and gift giving, those are the foundation of civilization. We can't get away from that. There's always things that are owed from one person to another. That's why we do nice things for each other, because there's that indebtedness. Also, a great book is The Gift by Marcel Mauss. But, you know, when you look at it from an anthropological perspective, along with an economic perspective, like you can't pull those things out of it. And women are biologically programmed to be attracted to the males that can provide resources for them. And so looking at it in a human context, people go, oh, they're just interested in money, they're materialistic. But female animals do this all across the animal kingdom. Any species that confers non-genetic benefits through the mating process, it all works that way. We just need to take, it's Maslow's hierarchy. We need to focus on the things that we need in order to stay alive. And males provide that better because they have better access to those resources.
So that's
never going to end.
Right. That's just Mother Nature. So even if we're past procreation age, the biology is still there. The search for the appropriate, best DNA is still there, and it reflects in the dating world, right?
Yeah. I mean, so I normally am turned on by like a busboy or a waiter. But if a guy offers to take me out to a nice restaurant and or like brings me a gift or something, my nipples get hard. Like that, it does something that is really attractive, because it shows he is willing to make a sacrifice for you. It shows that he is invested in this. It shows his enthusiasm. All those things turn women on.
I love it. Suki, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little more about advanced masculinity, what, you know, how men can learn to balance being macho with, you know, or just being confident. So let's unpack it. We'll be back in a minute.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
And we're back with Suki Nefertiti. Suki, so some men think they're being confident and they're really being cocky. How do you coach men to strike the right balance?
So I think one really good thing is you need to have women friends, and you need to ask them if you are coming across as cocky or creepy, because a lot of men just can't tell. So the thing about men is that this is an evolutionary adaptation. Your brains are programmed for virile arrogance. And it is so common for men to say, oh, I'm going to give you the best night of your life. Or, oh, I wonder if you can handle me. And I'm like, what does that even mean? What could you possibly do that I can't handle? I've done it all, honey. I've been booking for a lot longer than you.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the problem is usually the men can't handle you more than you can't handle them, but you're unique.
So. I mean, anyway, but so there are so many things that they do. And like, look, I have walked through a blizzard of bad dicks that all claimed that they were the best. And it's like, you guys need to stop doing that. It's hilarious. But there's so much other stuff that they do, like focusing on the mechanics, like guys bragging that they are, you know, so good at eating pussy. And it's like, the mechanics is 20% of the equation. So, you know, if you're completely omitting all the rest of the stuff from how you approach intimacy, then I guarantee you, I'm not going to enjoy it. Cause you just think that you have this great technique that one other chick liked. That's not what's going to do it for me. I like the kind of sex that is so intense and deep and passionate, where you're like bringing in all these energies from magical places. I mean, you really can have incredible quantum occurrences with deep sex where people have their full attention on it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this other horrible phenomenon of negging that guys are being encouraged to do. And I get this all the time.
What is it? Wait, what is it?
Negging.
Okay.
So it's a thing that a lot of men who are sex and dating coach and advice people, they won't tell men to do, because they say if you try to take a woman down a notch, then it kind of, I don't know, for some reason, they think that some women are turned on by that because it shows that you're masculine, or maybe it makes them defensive and want to prove themselves to you, or, you know, maybe just because women are, you know, vulnerable and less than that, that's why it works for them. I mean, it's complete bullshit.
Mm.
But I get it all the time, because I know that it is something that men are told to do. And so, I mean, I have a million times received messages that are like, your profile is absolutely horrendous, or you seem like a nightmare, you seem like a pain in the ass. Why don't you step down from your intellectual pedestal and just come get fucked? It's really crazy.
Really? And they think that's going to reel you in.
Does that never happen to you?
I mean, I think, you know, yeah, it is a hard balance between being dominant and being an asshole. Yeah. So sometimes people don't know the nuance and the difference. But not probably to that extent. I mean, I imagine your profile is, like you said, you know, you really set high expectations and very clear boundaries for what you want and what you're looking for. So,
well, and I'm sure that's why I attract a lot of men's ire, because my personality can be triggering, because they're not used to women who are confident and know their boundaries and who are, well, I mean, so many women are intelligent, but they sometimes dumb themselves down around men because they know that acting more intelligent around a man is going to be triggering. You know, we do so much to minimize ourselves, and I refuse to do that.
Yep.
So I do get a lot of the hate mail, for sure. But it's always an insult combined with, but still would fuck you if you want to come over.
Yeah, right. Okay.
it can be really awful. But you know, one thing that I wanted to mention with dominance, I am so specific about people knowing the terms that they are throwing around. And so many men call themselves dominant and don't really know what it means, because they think they have to, because that, you know, that's their idea of what masculinity is supposed to be. But there's a big difference between social dominance and sexual dominance. And so on the apps, like if you go on Field and say that you're dominant, you should be referring to sexual dominance only, because that's where you're being open with your proclivities.
Yep.
And so when someone says that, I ask them, well, what does that mean for you? Because there's different categories of stuff you like to do. Sometimes it's just impact play. Sometimes it's just shibari and ropes. Sometimes it's more sadism or humiliation or degradation. Sometimes it's certain kinds of role play. There's a million different kinds. And just saying that you're generally dominant, that doesn't tell me anything. But also, it's very, very different from social dominance, which is testosterone-based, and that comes from your achievements and your status in the community. And so that is a totally different thing. So if you are socially dominant, you don't have to say that you're sexually dominant. So be careful how you say it on your profiles.
Yeah, right. Yeah, socially dominant can be that you're going to pick the restaurant, or you're going to plan the trip.
Exactly. And I want that. I am not interested in people who are going to humiliate me or tie me up. No, you know, that's not my thing. But then guys assume that just because I'm a confident person who doesn't want to be spanked or choked, that I'm the dominant one. And no, I just don't do BDSM. Sorry.
Right. But yet you mentioned this site Feeld, F-E-E-L-D. And as I understand it, it's for some of these alternative lifestyle daters. So when you go on Feeld, just like Seeking is sort of for sugar dating, as I understand it as well. How do you dictate the type of, you know, kink or preferences that you have?
So, so I am very clear about not being interested in anyone who has kinks that they depend on that are absolutely necessary for them to get off. That is a huge turnoff for me because when I was getting my degree in sexuality studies, that was one of the first things I learned, that if there's something that you absolutely need, that's dysfunctional. That's a disease. It's called a paraphilia. And so anyone who has pathological paraphilic disorders, I'm not interested in that. And so that's why I actually don't like when people are too specific on their profile about I need this and this and this. And I'm like, I kind of want to get to know you first and see how the chemistry goes and see what you bring out in me and what I bring out in you. Because my favorite weird, unexpected sexual stuff that I've done was always just because I had such an interesting, very individual connection with someone, and it just kind of came out organically. You know, I've done some really super fun role play stuff, but I wouldn't want to do it with most people because they wouldn't be as good as this one guy with their use of words. You know, I'm very fond of the power of words. Most people are not good with words.
Yeah. So. Can you share an example of a fun role play scenario?
So
for those who don't do role play.
What's that?
For those who may not be familiar with role play.
So I did a little bit of DDLG with a guy. And it was, so that's Daddy Dom Little Girl. And that was so fun for me because I was much older than this guy. But we started this role play of he was my stepdad. We would text all day long. And I think I've never been so horny in my life because he was so good at it. And we just had incredible chemistry at doing this. And, you know, it was something that I wanted to uniquely do with him because that connection was amazing. And it was just so unexpected because, you know, obviously that wouldn't be the first thing that I would choose with me being the older person and him being younger, but somehow it worked. And it was absolutely magical. And we just let it simmer and build. Like the thing is, he had restraint, and so many men do not have restraint. And that is a really important thing for a lot of women, because if you show restraint, it tells our brain that you're not a raper. And so he was really good at letting it build very, 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 very slowly. And that it just completely turned me on. And the thing about a lot of guys think that with the apps, you can just go straight to asking for casual sex if you think a woman might want it. But unfortunately, women's brains, in order to not create dissonance and in order to not incite our sexual disgust sensitivity response, you have to go through the stages of attraction. So you have to, you know, you need to show curiosity, then you have to establish rapport, then you need micro escalations. That's a really important part. Then you get into the sexualization of it, and then the actual physicalization of the sexualization. And if you skip any of those stages, it will make a woman grossed out a lot of the time. And so, you know, I do have on my profiles that I'm looking for something casual, but if someone just says, you know, I got one the other day, it just said, let's start with my cock. Do you want to see it? And they're like, no.
Men are confused about that. The men who send dick pics think that that's a turn on, and I guess,
it's
not good.
Some of the scientists say that it's something that men do when they are feeling sad and weak and like life is overcoming them, and it offers them this sense of relief and power because they actually enjoy the shocked responses from the women. They like that the women get disgusted by it. You know, it's very similar to when I was a little kid, there were guys who would stand around at the mall or the grocery store, you know, with their dick out, and especially doing it around little girls because it was to gross them out. You know, they're not actually trying to turn on the little girl. There's something about the response of shock that that they get off on. It's empowering when they feel disempowered by life.
Ugh, that's gross. We're going to take one more break, and we come back. I have a few more interesting questions for you. So stay with us and Suki Nefertiti.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Okay, Suki, so tell us about your house sitting. I take it you are in some interesting environment right now. Can you share a little about that?
So actually right now I'm in a hotel. So I'm doing, and I'm just here for the day. So I do some professional cuddling, as one of my side gigs, and
professional cuddling. I didn't know that was
a
job.
It's a thing that's actually quite common in the UK because they have a culture that where you a lot of people just don't really touch each other. They're not super super touchy feely, and some people are starved for affection. And so I can come in and bring that. But I like to incorporate a lot of the stuff that I know about affection and intimacy and touch. And I also like to incorporate Qigong and you know stuff that I used to study traditional Chinese medicine, and so I can bring a lot of energy work into it. And so, I'm working on helping this person with some phobias because we have a really incredible connection where it, basically he has not had sex. he has not had success with traditional therapist because my interpretation is that they put him in a place where he has to be too vulnerable. And I think that's not the way out of his stuff. I think that the way out of it is by bringing out his confidence and his assertiveness and just bringing that back in him. And he and I are both like club kids and partiers. And so I think I fully understand his personality and maybe what a lot of drugs might do to a person. And so I think I have a path out for him in that way. So that's really fun. But yeah, professional cuddling is really, really enjoyable. I love it.
So are you a sex therapist in a sense in terms of,
in that way? So a lot of people will want advice on how to approach women sexually or with dating stuff. And I will coach them on that. Some people want some people want more of a physical element. Some people want more of an emotional element. Some people I do virtual sessions all the time with people who just kind of, it can be a million things. Some people want encouragement and mothering. Some people, just have an issue that they want to talk through. But I've had times where I could just sort of figure out energetically what was happening with someone and kind of guide them through that. I think this is a thing that we need to bring attention to, that women in perimenopause have superpowers because we're going through so much intense stuff hormonally and emotionally that we just see the world in a totally different way. Mm. And it can be intense. I have multiple friends who have committed suicide because they didn't know what was happening to them. And because we don't talk about this stuff. But I think that for me, because I did a bunch of ayahuasca in the 2000s, and I also analyze this stuff so much, I've been able to understand what's going on. And I feel like I can, you know, not to get all woo-woo and crazy, because, you know, I hate when shit gets too woo-woo, but I feel like I can feel other people's pain and I feel like I can digest it for them.
Wow. Very interesting on a lot of levels, to say the least. So if people want to work with you, can they get on your website, or what's the best way to connect if they want this hands-on therapy that you offer?
So I believe that social media and AI are going to be the end of civilization. And so I try to avoid them as much as possible. But if people want to reach out to my email, it's just sukinefertiti@gmail.com. So SukiNefertiti.
Okay.
Y'all know how to spell it.
Yep. I'll put it in the comments.
SukiNefertiti@gmail.com. And I do love to hear from people. But I don't do a lot of self-promotion because...
Yeah, but real quick, I wanted to ask, because I know you had shared that you house sit or mansions and that type of thing. So real quick, how does that work? And does that open up doors in your, sexual world, or are those two separate things that you're involved with?
It does not open doors in my sexual world. That is something that I do just because I like living around the world for free. And so, you know, I used to work for 12 billionaires and I did estate management. I mean, you know, one of the guys I worked for had 37 houses. And so because I have that experience, it's been very easy for me to get the house sits. And I just use a service. It's, you know, I don't know if you want me to say it on here. It's called Trusted House Sitters, and it's the most common one. And so I get all the good house sits because now I've done 85 of them with all 5-star reviews, and that combined with the experience working for billionaires. I've done house sits in so many incredible places. One was this big estate owned by a Belgian baron. I did a sit for the Cavendish family, other nobility. I've stayed in several empty hotels when the owners were just away. So I've done that, I think, in 3 or 4 hotels, several castles separately from the actual castle that I really lived in when I was buried in Spain.
Wow.
So I get to stay in amazing places all the time. But I believe, we know from an anthropological perspective that humans are meant to be nomadic, and we are totally maladapted for the current lives that we're living. And, you know, private property is what started inequality and all the other bullshit. So I'm trying to bring it back to a couple thousand years ago.
It's so interesting. All of it's really interesting. So we have to wrap up, but I wanted to just, ask you if you had one piece of advice for men and for women in the dating world, in the more maybe traditional dating world, and from your extensive experience, what would you share?
I think the best advice is to create a sexy energy bubble. And you can do this with app communication. You can do it in real life. But I have always known how to do this in real life. And my friends, I hang out with mostly gay men, and so they're very good at observing how I seduce other men. Mm. And they will always comment on this. They will go, I don't know how you do it, because you are communicating with someone across the room and you are not even speaking to them, but your energy is going, I'm here. Come over and approach me. And they always do.
Right. So create a sexual energy bubble. Okay.
Yeah, there are ways of doing this where, so you don't just go up and start groping a woman. You don't get all in her face. You create this beautiful force field where they understand that you're attracted to them, and you let it simmer and you let it kind of create something together. And you can do that in all situations. But I love doing it, and it always works for me.
Lovely. Okay, well. You have shared some really interesting perspectives. I look forward to 1,000 one-night stands. I'm sure you have lots and lots of stories to share. And again, anyone that wants to connect with Suki, and I'm sure a lot of people will, SukiNefertiti@gmail.com. Suki, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. I've been loving your podcast. I love your demeanor. You have something kind of Oprah-esque about you.
Oprah-esque. Thank you. Yeah. All right. That's the biggest compliment I could receive. So thank you. And we will, I'm sure, talk again, but appreciate you being here on Dateless in Del Rey. It was really fun, fascinating. And it just shows that, you know, you're still young in my world, but still, it's never too late to just pursue pleasure, which is kind of your mission statement. And it's life's short.
Use it or lose it. You don't want to dry up.
That's right. Use it or lose it. I love it. So thanks for listening. Please follow us. Email me at susan@datelessindelray.com. Until next time, if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and just live like Suki lives. Let's all try to be a little off the book and see how it works out. But thank you. And thanks again, Suki.
Thank you. And use protection, everybody.
Yes, use protection. Great, great closing message. Take care.
Bye, Susan. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.